Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church.
Let's go ahead and take the Bibles this morning. We're going to be in the book of Luke. We'll be in Luke chapter number 10. And while you're looking that up, how many of you guys have ever gone into a room, spent some time in there, and completely forgot the purpose of why you went in? A couple days before New Year's, Misty and I went in because my wife and I, Misty, went in to get some stuff from Menards. And the reason that we went into Menards is because they had $4 Christmas totes on sale, because you can't put your Christmas stuff in regular boxes, right? And so it had the green and red lid or whatever, and we went in there to do that. And as we were walking by the bathroom supplies, we noticed that they had bathtubs on sale, and I thought, well, we're going to be remodeling our bathroom soon. So we stopped and looked at that. And then we made our way over, and all of their Christmas stuff was 50% off. And you can't just walk by that. You guys know that, right? And so I recognized that we had an argument right there in the middle of Menards, because they had all these pre-lit trees, and they had two non-pre-lit trees. Let me just take a survey. How many of you guys have ever bought a pre-lit tree that lasted any amount of time? Anybody have one? They seem to just go work for one or two seasons. We asked like four different people in there, how long did you have your pre-lit tree for? And they said, mine lasted 2 years. Now I got to go buy another one. And I told her that I think it's a conspiracy. And she's sitting here and she'll tell you, they only had two that were non-pre-lit, and they looked like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. You know, just like standing there. But all the pre-lit ones were real nice. I think they want you to buy one. 2 or 3 years later, you have to buy another one. And then as we're arguing about this, Miss Virginia walks by, one of the sweet ladies in our church, and we argued with her a little bit too. And as we're walking out, Missy says, I feel like we're forgetting something. I said, I know, I feel like that too, but I can't think of it. And on the way home, she goes, just like the kid on Home Alone, the mom, you know, Kevin, Missy goes, totes, like, totally forgot to buy the totes. We spent $88 at Menards in 2 hours, and we didn't buy the totes. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about here? We get a little bit distracted. All of us know what it's like to go into a room, totally forget why, or to get online to do something very specific, and next thing you know, you've watched 2 hours worth of cat videos. You know what I'm talking about. It's easy to get distracted. Especially from things that we think are important. I want to ask you this question this morning as we get started out. What is it that is supremely important to you right now? For those of you who habla español, muy importante. What is it that is like way up there on your priority list? What is the most important thing in your life at this point? It's that time of year where we start to focus on those things, right? Because we make those New Year's, and it's the R word. Resolutions, and a lot of times in churches we don't like to talk about the R words because it's so easy to set those up and we get knocked down. But what we do with resolutions is typically we're trying to prioritize what we believe is important to us. But the truth is that most of us will fail at our resolutions because of one reason. You know what it is? Distractions. The reason we fail at our resolutions is not because we set out to decide, you know what, in January, you know, January 1st, I made this resolution, and on January 8th, you're like, I don't think I want to keep that resolution anymore, you know. It's not because you determined that the resolution was not worthy of your effort, but rather we simply got distracted. It's a lot like in a good snowball fight. Now, it's been a winter where we haven't had a lot of snow, but let me just give you the secret. This is the pro tip for snowball fights. Some of you guys have ever been engaged in a snowball fight, all right? The pro tip at a snowball fight is you always have to have two snowballs. And what you do is you get those two, and you look at the guy like, you know, like, I'm going to bust you, you know what I mean? And when you do this, you take it, and you go underhanded on him, and you throw it up in the air like this. And it throws them off a little bit. They're not sure what to expect. And what they're doing is they're looking at that snowball, and while they're looking up at the one that's coming down, you take the other one and just blast them right in the face. Has anyone ever done this before? All right, my brothers are in here. They know about these kinds of tricks. When we'd walk through Walmart as kids, I'd go in there and grab the ladies' perfume and walk up behind them and as many times as I could before they knew it. But anyway, what happens in snowball fights is it's real easy to get distracted from what is right there in front of you. And I believe that many of us are going to begin a snowball fight, if you will, this new year with these resolutions, these things that we want to engage in that are priorities in our lives. But what I want to warn you of is that there's going to be some distractions. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about this topic. We're going to talk about being distracted. We're going to talk about some things that keep us from living a life of purpose. And today is kind of going to be a foundation. We're just going to kind of lay the foundation. We're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about the dangers of distraction. Dangers of distraction, there it is. And we're going to talk about how to destroy distraction. We're going to talk about two simple things. So if you have your connection journals, you can keep track in there. If you're not sure what a connection journal is, you can get it for free at the Welcome Center, all right? But we're going to do that by looking at Luke chapter 10, and we're going to begin in verse 38. Luke 10 and verse number 38 says this. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went." When it's talking about they here, it's talking about Jesus and his disciples. This is while the Son of God is walking on this earth. He lived on this earth for 33 and a half years, died on the cross. This is while he's walking the earth, he's walking with his disciples here. And it says that as they went, that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. What was her name? Martha, just making sure you're with me here. And she had a sister called Mary, all right? So here's Jesus. He's got his entourage with him. And he goes and he knocks on the door of Martha's house. And she has a sister there with her by the name of Mary. And it says that she also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But look at what happens in verse number 40. You see this conjunction here, the word but. It says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." This word that he uses here in describing the attitude and the feeling of Martha in that moment. I mean, just imagine having Jesus in your house. It says that Martha's attitude was cumbered about with much serving. Cumbered here about just simply means that she was distracted. She was distracted with something. And what is it that she was so worried about? She was taking thought of. What is it that had her distracted? The verse tells us here. It's the word serving. What's interesting about that word serving is in the original language, it's the word diakonos. Anybody think of an English word that sounds like diakonos? It's one of the offices of the church. A deacon, yeah. It's the same word that's used for deacon, and the word deacon is not, you know, somebody gets to wear a cool name tag when they walk into the church and people have to kiss the ring or something like that. It's nothing weird like that. A deacon is nothing more than a servant. And so the Bible says here that the thing that she was distracted by, or she was cumbered about with, is she was distracted by serving. She was trying to meet the needs of others. We're going to see how Jesus responds to her when she says what she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister is not helping me?" We're going to see how Jesus responds, but before we see how Jesus responds, I want to look at number one, the dangers of distraction. The dangers of distraction. Originally, when we were putting together the different graphics and things for this sermon series, you saw the pink one earlier. Originally, my idea was getting a distracted driver, because there's a lot of distracted driving that's going on. You know, we hear about it all the time. Now you get ticketed for it and that kind of thing. And I found a lot of pictures of people in their cars, and they've got their phone out and things like that. I mean, people are distracted when they're driving. How many guys, I guarantee you, if you'll go home, whether you're going Route 9 back towards Tremont or Route 9 back towards Pekin, I guarantee if you'll just look at the oncoming traffic, you're going to see at least one person that's driving like this. Have you guys ever looked and noticed that before? I mean, it's distracting. And a lot of times we joke around about it, you know, and as long as the cops don't see me and that kind of thing. But here's what I want you to recognize is we may think it's a little funny, but I know of one family that doesn't think it's very funny. And it's these kids right here in this picture. Those three kids were getting on their bus in October. And a 24-year-old girl was driving along, didn't see the bus or the kids. And as they were going to get on the bus, she hit those three and one more, and it killed all three of them. Twin brothers and their older sister. Allegedly, she was texting and driving. Talk about rocking a world. I think they would say there's a danger in distraction. As we talk about this today, of course, the danger for us may not be death, but it is absolutely certain that there are dangers whenever we live distracted lives. The first danger in living a distracted life is the danger of succeeding at things that do not matter. Whenever we live a distracted life, when we're not living a life of purpose, there's a danger that we will succeed at something that just doesn't add up to a hill of beans, as they used to say. You know, I've had a lot of people knock on my door. I mean, you guys ever had a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door before? Yeah, I had a Mormon knock on your door before, or some kid that's selling stuff for the boys, what is it called? Boy Scouts, or for their, you know, they're trying to pawn stuff off on you. You know, you hear these people knock on the door. Well, here's Mary and Martha, and someone knocks on their door, and Martha's like, "Mary, go get it. It's another one of those Boy Scouts, you know." And Mary goes to get it, opens the door, and it's Jesus. You know, I've had a lot of people knock on my door, but I've never had Jesus Christ in the flesh knock on my door. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Mary and Martha. But when Martha came face-to-face with the fact that Jesus Christ was standing at her door, and Mary says, "It's Jesus! Come on in, Jesus!" And Jesus comes in, he's got his entourage with him, and they all walk in, and Martha's going, "Oh man, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I better make sure the bacon doesn't get burnt." You know, and she's running around and checking that, and then she's running to the bathroom and making sure there's enough toilet paper for everybody, you know? And she's cumbered about, the Bible says, with much serving. Was it something bad that she was doing? Not at all. She was wanting to take care of them. She was wanting to minister to them. And if the story ended in verse number 40, Martha would have been very successful at something. She would have been successful in having a clean house. She would have been successful in having their bellies fed. She would have been successful in these things. But in light of the fact that the Son of God was sitting on her couch, what did that matter? What did it matter if the house was picked up? I can look back at my life and think about the different things that I've accomplished and begin to think, you know, does that really matter? I can remember as a kid getting my first Nintendo Entertainment System, and it came with Super Mario Brothers. Anybody with me right now, you know? And level, was it level 7 or level 8 where you got to Bowser's Castle? You know, it starts out with and as a kid, I mean, I tried to jump over the flagpole, you know what I mean? I found the little secret passageways where you could bump up and go up over the top and all that and get all the way to level 8. And finally, one day, I finally beat Bowser. Yes, my life is full. You know, I was able to beat Bowser as a kid. I was able to collect baseball cards. I wanted to get the best ones. You know, I wanted to get a Frank Thomas rookie card. You know, I wanted to be able to get all these, you know, one series. I remember Fleer had these baseball cards. At that time, I also collected basketball cards. I wanted to get Michael Jordan cards. Deion Sanders was real big. I wanted to get his baseball and his football card, you know. And I was able to collect all of those, and it was just complete. Yes. I wanted to be able to dunk a basketball, and at my height, that's fairly, it's a lot easier than some of the other short people out there, but I was able to accomplish that. I was able to beat Bowser. I was able to collect those cards. I was able to dunk a basketball. I won a Super Bowl. You know, all of those things. Okay, I didn't really win a Super Bowl. I wanted to see if you guys were paying attention there. Out of all of those things, there's nothing wrong with any of them. But what do they matter in light of eternity? What is it that you have your mind set to accomplish today? I would venture to say none of us are set to beat Bowser or set to dunk a basketball, but there are other things. And they're not bad things, but we've got our mind set toward, I've got to get this done, or I've got to get that done. What I want us to do this morning is to stop and ask ourselves, am I going to succeed in something that really doesn't matter a whole lot in the end? For Martha, it may not have been wrong, but it wasn't what was best. The second danger of distraction, living a distracted life, is we tend to focus on the immediate rather than the permanent. It's a danger of focusing on the immediate instead of the permanent. I want you to think about Mary and Martha. And, you know, a couple weeks down the road, they run into some of their friends, and they're in the market square there, and they're talking. They say, "Hey, I heard Jesus came by your house." And as they say that, Mary perks up and she goes, "Oh yeah, Jesus came by the house. I'm the one that answered the door. This hand, I shook his hand. I haven't washed this thing since then, you know? And let me tell you, when he sat down on the couch and he started talking, let me tell you what he said. Let me tell you about the look in his eyes. Let me tell you about the smell. Let me tell you about his Crocs that he was wearing. Let me tell you about all these things." And all the while Mary's talking, then they look to Martha and go, "Martha, what about you? What do you remember?" And she's struggling, like, he was there, but I was awfully busy. I really don't remember a whole lot of it because I had a lot of other things that were going on in the heat of the moment. She was too busy to take it all in. She was distracted by dishes, if you will. She was sidetracked by silverware. I got all kinds of these. Somebody say amen, all right? Come on now. But she was distracted. She was focused on the immediate rather than on the permanent. Can I just ask you, what is it that your distractions may be keeping you from? What is it, how much are the distractions in our lives costing us? You know, I give my wife a hard time because she loves to play Candy Crush, you know, and there's nothing wrong. I mean, we need diversion in our life, but it's important that we recognize when a diversion becomes a distraction, we give too much time to it, because there's a lot of people who will pull out their phones and pull up Candy Crush or pull up Facebook or pull up some other thing, and they are focused in on getting to the next level or getting more friends or keeping the interactions between all of everyone just right, but they're missing out on raising their children. You know, are we missing the permanent because we're focused on the immediate? You know, we may be able to shoot a round of golf below par. We may be able to teach our children to hit a baseball. We may know all of the NFL teams that are in the playoffs, and we may be able to guess who's going to win and who's not. But in the long run, what about our relationship with our spouse? What about our relationship with our Savior? Let's not sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. That's what Martha did. Not only is that a danger, but the third danger is this, a lack of self-awareness. When we get distracted, it's very easily to lose all self-awareness. Now, I'm not going to embarrass any of our children, but when Gracie is playing Xbox, or 15, or 14, how old are you, Grace? 14-year-old back there. When she's playing Xbox, or she's watching some television show or something, she is in the zone. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody else have a kid like this? I mean, the ADD hasn't kicked in because it's all focused right there, you know. Gracie. And it's not that she's, you know, being disrespectful. It's not that she's not paying attention on purpose. It's that she is in the zone. And then she has this thing, Grace, I should have asked you. Do you mind if I tell this story? But when you finally, Gracie, she does this with her head. What? Like she has to shake out of it, you know. When you're in the zone, it's really easy to be oblivious to everything else around you. We lose track. We have a lack of self-awareness. And that's what Martha had going on. I want you to see that she was so in the zone that she was completely unaware of what was going on. I want you to look at verse number 40 here. It says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came to him, Jesus. And this is what she says to the Son of God in the flesh. Listen to what she says to him. I mean, it's really easy to skip over this without thinking about what she says. She looks at him and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Like, she's not just, you know, piling on to Mary because Mary's not doing anything. Anybody else have anyone in their family that never does anything? They don't bring anything to the get-togethers. They don't help clean up. They don't point. I'm not trying to start a fight. We had plenty of those at Christmas, right? But anyway, that was Martha. She's not only piling on Mary, but who is she talking to? Jesus. She says to Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, you don't care about me. You don't care about my situation. And not only does he accuse her, he tells Jesus, or she accuses him, she tells Jesus what to do. Look at the end of the verse. Back verse 40. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Like, Jesus, snap to it. Let's go, Jesus. Tell her to help me. I mean, you want to talk about a lack of self-awareness. How many of you guys think you would talk to Jesus like that? Some of you are like, I don't even want to talk to my family like that. You know, I don't want people to talk to me like that. And she's talking to the Son of God in that fashion, completely unaware of what was going on. She was focused on herself and on that moment and the feelings that she felt. She was distracted. I typically have a lot of stories about people driving slow in the fast lane, but one of my other pet peeves is when they open, when there's a line of shopping carts at a store, and Menards is the worst. And again, if you work at Menards, I'm sorry, but it's true. On New Year's Day, I'm at Menards, and it's a new year. It's a new me. I'm going to be happy, Josh, all right? I'm not going to be distracted. You know, I've got to practice what I preach, right? And so I get my stuff, go to the front. They've got like three lanes open on New Year's Day when they're just slammed, you know. And there's probably 10 people deep in each one of them. And so I pulled out my phone because I knew college football was on. And I think I was watching LSU versus Florida, whoever they played, Central Florida. I turned it on purpose on my phone because I wasn't going to get mad at anyone. I was going to wait in line, not say anything. So guess what happened? Menards did what Menards does. They flipped on their light. They didn't go to the next person in line that's been waiting the longest. They just flip on the light. I didn't help whoever's next. And Usain Bolt runs over there from the very back. He's been waiting for a total of 10 seconds in line, you know. And I thought, LSU, Florida. LSU, Florida. I'm watching the game. I'm not going to say anything. So I was very calm. I waited. I went ahead and got in the next shortest line after it was all done. And as I'm waiting, again, I don't want to make eye contact with anyone because I'm a preacher and I got to live straight, right? So I'm looking at my phone and the lady in front of me goes, "Sir?" And I look up and she goes, "They just opened a line next to us." Well, she had been in front of me. She was waiting. So I was going to practice what I preach. I said, "Oh, go ahead. You can go." And she looked up and went, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, go ahead." So she went to go into that line next to me. And this guy, if I'm lying, I'm dying. I watched this older gentleman, and I use the word term gentleman very loosely, this older gentleman, and if you're here today, I'm sorry, but you know it's true. This older guy, he starts walking over to the open lane, and when he saw the lady that's been waiting longer starting to move, he sped up. I watched him do, you know, like did the shuffle, like getting over there to it. And by that time, I lost it. I was upset. And I'm sorry if this makes you think less of me, but this is what happened. I said, "Excuse me, sir." And he didn't bother looking up. So I said, "Sir." And he looked up and I said, "This lady right here has been waiting a lot longer than you have." And he looked at me and goes, "Oh, okay." He stepped back. And that lady went ahead and got in line. And I went right back to my phone like I don't like it. I can't look at this guy, you know. But in that moment, I mean, I didn't look at him, but I think what happened is I don't think that guy was trying to intentionally be rude. I think in his mind, he was just distracted. I mean, it was New Year's Day. He probably was doing honeydews for his wife right on his day off. He was just focused on what he was doing, that he was unaware of his surroundings. And when he woke up and became face to face with the situation, he's like, "Oh, like Gracie. Oh, yeah, go ahead." You see, one of the dangers of distraction is we lose our self-awareness. You might wonder how Jesus responded to Martha whenever she told him what to do and then made an accusation against the Savior. And what I love about this is that Josh may have responded improperly to the guy, but I can tell you who didn't respond improperly as Jesus. And the way that Jesus responds to Mary in her distraction is the same response that he wants to give to us in our distraction. Look what it says in verse 41. This is what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha." Maybe you're like me, but I can't help think of the Brady Bunch. "Marcia, Marcia, Marcia." You know, but that's not the tone in which he said it. Honestly, I think the tone in which he said it was "Martha, Martha." Not "Martha! Martha, pay attention." You know, it was "Martha, hey, 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 lady, up here," you know, "Martha." And then a calm voice, he says, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." Because she was distracted, she felt two things. She felt careful and she felt troubled. That word "careful" means to be anxious. That word "careful" means to feel the burden of responsibility for something. And it's interesting that God allowed Luke to write this passage, because does anyone know what Luke did by trade? He was a doctor. He was a physician. And he wrote this passage. And when he used this word "care" here in verse number 41, when he used that word "careful," he ends up using that word again in the next chapter. I think it's five different times. And every time that he uses it, it's translated "taking thought of," "taking thought of," "taking thought of." And he said that when she got distracted, she was taking thought of many different things. She was distracted by what was going on over there, and she was distracted by what was going on there, and distracted by what's going on there. And what Dr. Luke realized, that as a doctor, he knew that there was a danger in distracted living. And I'm here to tell you that our society has more anxiety, carefulness, taking thought of all these different things, we have more anxiety than ever before. And here's why. Because we live distracted lives. There's so much going on that we get careful of. We think on all these other things. I mean, our minds get worried when we are unstimulated. I mean, you always have to have something. I don't know if you do this or not, but I found myself doing this subconsciously when I'm watching a television show when I actually have to have the commercials on where you can't fast forward through them, you know. When the commercials come on, I find myself subconsciously reaching into my pocket, pulling out my phone, and scrolling something else. Does anybody else do this? Like, or even on the boring parts, you know, like the chick flick parts of movies, you know, and it's like, I don't want to listen to all this drama. So I'll just subconsciously pull my phone out and just start scrolling because I've got to have something to entertain my mind. That's the day and age that we live in. You know, if the enemy can't destroy you, he will distract you. If the enemy cannot destroy you, he will distract you because he knows that it leaves us anxious or careful. It leaves us troubled about many things. But here's the beautiful thing about this passage is that Jesus does not just address the problem, but he gives the solution. So here's number two, and this will be done after this. Number two is how to destroy distraction. How to destroy the distraction. It doesn't help us just to realize that we struggle with distractions unless we are aware of what we need to do with this newfound focused attention. You can't just say, all right, I'm not going to be distracted by that, because then you're just going to, well, what do I do with all my extra time? Like, what am I supposed to do with this newfound focused attention? And there's a lot of answers for that. Like, where should your attention go? You could focus on your family. You could focus on your health. You could focus on self-improvement. But let's look at what Jesus told Martha to focus upon. Verse number 42, he said this. He said, but one thing is needful. He didn't say one thing is helpful. He didn't say one thing would probably be the best. He says, this one thing is what we need in our lives. Let me ask you this question. If you had to focus the rest of your life on one thing, what would it be? I'm going to put that question up here on the board so you guys can see it. If you had to focus the rest of your life on one thing, what would it be? I mean, think about that in your heart, in your mind right now, if you had to do that. Because the Bible says one thing is needful. Jesus told Mary that this one thing is something that cannot be taken away. We'll see that here in just a moment. Far too often we're guilty of searching for purpose, searching for joy and fulfillment in things that can be taken away from us. So what is this one thing that Jesus says? Let's look at it at the end of verse number 42 here. He says, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus here doesn't tell her what the one thing is specifically, but he says, look at Mary, and you'll see what that one thing is. And very simply, what Mary did, the thing that Mary chose to do, put very simply, is this. She put Jesus first. Mary put Jesus first in her life. And you know, it's real easy for us to say, all right, guys, you know, starting out the new year, let's not be distracted. Let's make sure that we focus on this one thing. It's real easy to say, hey, guys, let's put Jesus first and, you know, do a little cheer together. Right? Let's go. And then we go out and go, how do you do that? So let me show you how to destroy distraction by putting Jesus first. Look at what Mary did in verse 39. It says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. The first thing that Mary did that we see in this verse is that it says that she sat at Jesus' feet. Here's what she did. She got to Jesus. If we're going to put Jesus first, like if we're going to destroy distractions because we know there are dangers in them, we've got to get to Jesus. That means laying aside other priorities. Because listen, there's a lot of things that are going to be calling out for you. I mean, I can only, you know, in my mind, I can kind of picture Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. And I don't know, for some reason, I picture her sitting Indian style, you know, and sitting at Jesus' feet and just kind of taking it all in. And while Mary's sitting there, what was Martha doing? She was running around. She was cooking, she was cleaning, and she was steaming too because she was ticked off at Mary, right? But she's running around. I can't help but think that as Mary's sitting there, she sees Martha. She sees Martha running from the kitchen. And I imagine Martha, being a sister, was probably giving her the stank eye. And all of you know what I'm talking about, you know. And she saw that, and Mary's like, I ain't helping you. And as Mary's sitting there, I can't help but Mary smelling that bacon that she's cooking on the stove in there, you know. Ooh, she had to be hungry, you know. And she's thinking, she could have got up and ate, because, I mean, you know, eating's important, and all God's Baptist people said amen right there, right? There were all these other distractions, but Mary said, no, I've got to be right here at Jesus' feet. And you know, in 2019, I think it would be important for us to start out the year and say, you know what, I'm going to put Jesus first. But the way that we put Jesus first is to recognize there's going to be all kinds of other things that are going, hey, look at me over here, pay attention to me, and this is important. But may we identify the distractions and put Jesus first in our lives. She knew that this was her chance. She knew that I'm not going to miss this. Jesus ain't going to come knocking on my door every day. I'm not going to miss this. And I want us to know that it's important for us to say, you know what? Today is the day for me, and I'm not going to miss this. Jesus has been working on my heart. Today is the day of salvation, and I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to get to Jesus today. For some of us, that might be for salvation. But for most of us this morning, it's because it's God calling us to walk in fellowship with him. Because what a lot of us say is, you know, I'm going to get to Jesus. You know, I'll get to them once the kids get out of school, you know, or, you know, once the kids, you know, when they're young, it's so hard, and once they get in kindergarten, then I'll do it, or once the kids graduate, then I'll do it, or a lot of us, you know, once my health gets a little bit better, then I'm going to, you know, really, you know, I'm going to worship, connect, serve, you know, that's what I'm going to do, or, you know what, when my financial situation gets a little better, that's when, and we've got all these excuses as to when we're going to get to Jesus, but Mary chose the best thing. Mary said, I know that it's good to eat that food, and I know it's good to have a clean house when Jesus is showing up. I know it's good, but this is the most important, that's getting to Jesus. So what does it look like to get to Jesus? It's to do what Mary did. It's to sit at his feet. When was the last time that you were consciously aware of the presence of Jesus Christ in your life? I'm not talking about in the middle of church, like I tell a story and you get goosebumps and you're like, oh, I felt Jesus. I'm talking about, like, by yourself, God just rocked you with his presence. He just rocked you with his love. He just rocked you with how much mercy and grace that he's shown to you, and you were aware of his presence, and I mean, just, you can't describe it. When was the last time that you were sitting at Jesus' feet? We're so distracted oftentimes that we are unable to feel that feeling, though. Because, you know, the Bible talks about how when God speaks, sometimes he speaks in that still, small voice. And if we've got all these other things going on, it's going to be hard to hear it. Like I said, I knew I was going to preach this message, and I've got to practice what I preach. And my wife's back here. She's like, are you listening to your own sermon, big boy? Because I'm one of the most distracted people in this room, I guarantee you. Because here's what happens when I get up in the morning. When I get up, I turn on Facebook. First thing, I'm laying in bed. Does anybody else do this? Help me feel better, because I'm not the only one that does this. I just start scrolling and seeing what's going on in everybody's life, because that's so important, right? Scrolling. And then when I walk to the restroom to get ready, I turn on Netflix. Anybody else do this? While I'm getting ready, I love documentaries. I'm a documentary dork. I love watching them. And I'll just watch documentaries. Then I'll go upstairs, get my coffee, and while I'm sitting there eating a banana, I'm watching Netflix. When I'm done, I go back down to the bathroom, finish getting ready, watching Netflix. Get in my car. Don't tell any police officers, but I turn on Netflix while I'm driving too. And if it's not Netflix, there's a cop following me, then I'll turn on a podcast, and I'll listen to a podcast. And then I'll put in my wireless earphones, you know? I mean, you guys have those. You got to have your music going, you know? And there's always something. My wife, she's amening me back here, because there's always something going on in these ears. So this last week, I thought, yeah, I'm going to give it a try. And I didn't do it every day, but there were a few days. Let's not get too crazy. There was a couple days where I said, you know, I'm not going to turn on the Netflix. And when I was in the car for the first time in a long time, I hit the power button and I didn't turn on anything. And about 2 days into that, I can testify to you that one day last week as I was driving down the road, I pulled in and I was right out there by the mailbox for the church and I was going to check the mail and I pushed my window button. And when I pushed my window button, it was almost like I pushed the presence of God into my life. I know that sounds stupid and charismatic, but it happened, all right? Because as that window was going down, I've driven beater cars for so long. How many of you guys know I'm talking about beater car? Like when you come to the stoplight and when it turns green, you're hoping that it goes when you push the gas, you know. I've done the rolling down window thing, and when I pushed that window to go down, it hit me. Isn't it nice having a window that you don't even have to hold the button until it goes down all the way? You know, just push it and it goes all the way down. Like my back windows don't do that. It drives me crazy. I got to hold the button the whole time. You know, I ain't got time for that, right? But as it hit me, I hit that button and it was like, Lord, thank you that I have windows that go down all the way. Because I drove a minivan for 10 years. You know what I mean? And then I was thinking about other things that God has blessed me with. And in the parking lot right out there, it was almost like God was just reminding me, yeah, I've done this for you and I've done that for you. And I had a little hallelujah Pentecostal moment right there in the moment, just praising the Lord for what he's done in my life. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't experienced that a whole lot over the last few months. You know why? Netflix. Now, I'm not telling you to get rid of your Netflix prescription. Some of us might need a prescription. but what I will tell you is that there need to be times where we shut it all off and say, you know what? I am going to identify the distraction, but I'm not going to identify it and then justify it. I'm going to identify it and step away from it so that I can get to Jesus. I don't think for a moment that Martha thought she was doing anything wrong. She justified it. I know I need to be at the feet of Jesus, but I got food to cook, you know? I know I need to be at the feet of Jesus, but the towels don't match the rags, you know? I need to get more soap in the bathroom, you know? And she identified the distraction, but she justified it. And a lot of us have been doing that for a long time, and what I would encourage you to do is what God, Jesus Christ encouraged Martha to do. Do what Mary did. Get to the feet of Jesus. Turn off the radio for a little bit this week. Take the headphones out for a few moments. Turn off the TV. Get up earlier. Find a way to get to Jesus. And then lastly, listen to his word. A lot of people were close to Jesus, but a lot of them didn't get a chance to hear what he was saying. Martha was able to audibly hear Jesus. You know, when I picture Mary and Martha's house, I don't picture it being some huge mansion. I picture it being a small adobe room. So you know that she had to have heard Jesus, but she wasn't hearing Jesus. If you got kids, you know what I'm talking about. They hear you, but they don't hear you, you know. But it was different for Mary, because Mary didn't just hear Jesus, she heard Jesus. She considered what he was saying. That's what it says in verse number 39. It says she had a sister. Verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. As she was sitting there, she was hearing the words of Jesus. This is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It means to not only just sit in church and hear it, but I'm talking about hearing it. To learn truly more about him, to learn about his teachings, to take his thoughts into consideration in our own lives. Mary knew that Jesus' words in that moment were the most important need of her life. The same thing is true for us. In a world that's filled with flashing lights, bright signs, squirrel, you know, those kinds of things. In a world that's filled with distractions, may we be like Mary and look past the temporary pleasures toward the one thing that no one can take away, Jesus. How's your relationship with Christ this morning? Are you in a relationship with him? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I mean, that's number one, believing the gospel that he not only came to live, he came to die for you because we're sinners and he literally took our place and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And simple faith in Jesus can rescue a man from their sin. Most of us, they understand the gospel. And I'm not asking today when I ask, what is your relationship with Jesus? Like, I'm not asking what you're doing for him. Because Martha was doing a lot for Jesus. You do realize that oftentimes the people that are doing the most for Jesus are the people that are the most distracted from Jesus. If you're too busy serving to worship, you're too busy. If you're too busy serving to connect to others, you're too busy. I'm not asking what you're doing for Jesus, but what is your walk like with you? Are you more like Mary or Martha? Today, I started out by asking this question. What is most important to you right now? A lot of us had some things that ran through our minds, but maybe the better question would be this one. What does not need to be as important to you right now? Maybe today it's like Jesus is coming up to us and he's grabbing us and saying, Josh, Josh, Martha, Martha. Like, hey, snap out of it. You know, like, let's make the main thing the main thing and not live a distracted life that keeps us from living a life of purpose. Let's pray together.
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.